Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Red Scare, Blacklists, McCarthyism, and the Making of Modern America by Clay Risen revisits the early Cold War era to explain how anti-communism became a defining force in U.S. public life. Rather than treating McCarthyism as a brief outburst tied to one senator, the book frames the Red Scare as a broad system of politics, media incentives, and institutional fear that reached into workplaces, unions, universities, churches, and entertainment. Risen connects headline moments such as congressional investigations and loyalty programs to quieter mechanisms like informal blacklists and pressure campaigns that shaped careers and constrained speech. The narrative emphasizes the human consequences for accused individuals, as well as the larger transformation of American liberalism, conservatism, and the national security state. By mapping how suspicion and conformity spread, the book helps readers see how a democracy can narrow its own boundaries while insisting it is protecting freedom, and why the echoes of that period still matter. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from wartime alliance to domestic suspicion, a central topic is the shift from World War II cooperation with the Soviet Union to the post-war politics of fear that made communism a domestic obsession. The book situates this turn in the pressures of geopolitics, nuclear anxiety, and genuine espionage cases that gave accusations an aura of plausibility. It also shows how uncertainty became politically useful. Leaders and institutions could translate complex international events into a simple internal enemy, turning foreign policy confusion into a narrative of betrayal at home. Risen emphasizes that the Red Scare was not inevitable or purely reactive. It was built through choices by officials, legislators, editors, and activists who learned that suspicion mobilized voters, disciplined dissent, and redirected attention from other social conflicts. This topic highlights how broad currents such as decolonization, labor unrest, and partisan competition were reframed through anti-communism. The result was a public culture primed to accept loyalty tests, investigations, and punitive measures as common sense. By showing the origins of this mindset, the book helps readers understand how fear can become a policy framework and how quickly democratic norms can be recast as security risks. Secondly, blacklists as a quiet system of punishment. The book treats blacklisting not as a single list, but as a decentralized method of control that reached far beyond Hollywood. Employers, industry groups, and private intermediaries could enforce ideological conformity without the safeguards of courts. A person might never be formally charged, yet still be denied work because of rumor, association, or refusal to cooperate with investigators. Risen explains how this system relied on the logic of risk management. Companies feared boycotts, lost contracts, or government scrutiny, so they adopted preemptive exclusions that shifted the burden of proof onto the accused. The personal consequences were severe: lost income, broken networks, isolation, and long-term damage to reputation. This topic also clarifies why blacklisting was hard to resist. It was often informal, justified as private choice, and spread through professional gatekeepers rather than explicit laws. By tracing how institutions normalize these practices, the book shows how suppression can flourish even when constitutional protections technically remain in place. The Red Scare thus becomes a case study in how economic vulnerability and career dependency can be leveraged to police speech, turning conformity into a condition of employment. Thirdly, congressional investigations and the theater of accusation. Another major topic is the role of congressional committees and high-profile hearings in creating a public stage where accusation became entertainment, persuasion, and intimidation. Risen highlights how investigations could blur fact-finding with performance. The spectacle rewarded aggressive questioning, dramatic claims, and insinuation, while witnesses faced impossible choices: name others, plead the fifth, or risk contempt and professional ruin. This topic explains how the process itself generated proof in the public mind. Even when evidence was thin, the mere existence of an investigation suggested guilt, and headlines amplified the impression. The book also explores how media ecosystems, political ambition, and institutional incentives fed one another, turning hearings into a repeating cycle that expanded targets from government agencies to teachers, artists, scientists, and activists. The hearings shaped public understanding of loyalty as a matter for policing rather than debate. Risen uses this to illustrate a broader lesson about democratic institutions. When accountability mechanisms are captured by partisan goals and mass attention, they can invert their purpose. Instead of checking power, they can legitimize it, making coercion appear procedural and therefore acceptable. Fourthly, loyalty programs, policing of ideas, and civil liberties, the Red Scare did not depend only on loud demagogues. It was reinforced by administrative systems that treated political belief and association as security liabilities. RISN examines loyalty programs and screening regimes that expanded the state's reach into private life, often through vague standards that encouraged overcompliance. This topic explores how definitions of subversion became elastic. Membership in a legal organization, signing a petition, or attending a meeting could be reframed as disloyalty. The effect was a chilling of speech that extended well beyond those directly investigated. People learned to self-censor, avoid controversial groups, and distance themselves from friends, creating a culture of precaution. The book connects these practices to constitutional tensions around due process, freedom of association, and the presumption of innocence. It also shows how legal and bureaucratic measures can normalize extraordinary suspicion, particularly when framed as neutral procedures. By focusing on the machinery rather than only the personalities, RISN clarifies how civil liberties can erode incrementally. The topic invites readers to consider how modern institutions still rely on background checks, reputation scoring, and risk-based judgments, and how the balance between safety and liberty can tilt when fear becomes the default setting. Lastly, how the Red Scare reshaped modern American politics and culture. RISN argues that the Red Scare helped make modern America by reorganizing political coalitions, redefining acceptable dissent, and hardening ideological identities. This topic follows the longer legacy. Anti-communism became a unifying language for emerging conservative movements and a tool for weakening labor and left liberal networks. Meanwhile, many liberals and institutions adopted defensive postures, accepting parts of the anti-communist framework to prove legitimacy, which narrowed the range of policy imagination. The culture war dimensions also mattered. Schools, churches, civic groups, and entertainment industries absorbed the lesson that controversy could be professionally dangerous. The book shows how reputational punishment and patriotic signaling became enduring features of public life. Even after the most intense period faded, the habits remained. Guilt by association, purity tests, and the politicization of national security claims. This topic also considers the moral and civic costs. A society that equates disagreement with danger can lose creativity, solidarity, and trust. By linking mid-century battles to later developments in media, partisanship, and institutional power, RISN presents the Red Scare as more than a cautionary episode. It becomes an origin story for patterns that still shape debates about loyalty, protest, and the limits of dissent. In conclusion, this book is for readers who want a clear, historically grounded account of McCarthyism and blacklisting that goes beyond caricatures and focuses on how systems of fear actually operate. Students and general history readers will gain a coherent narrative of the early Cold War, while journalists, lawyers, educators, and anyone interested in civil liberties will recognize familiar dynamics in the book's attention to institutions, incentives, and public pressure. The practical benefit is perspective. Understanding how loyalty tests and informal punishment spread helps readers spot the warning signs of conformity campaigns in their own workplaces, communities, or media feeds. It also encourages a more careful approach to accusations, evidence, and due process, especially in moments of national anxiety. Compared with similar books that center mainly on Joseph McCarthy or a handful of famous hearings, RISN's approach is valuable because it treats the Red Scare as a broad social transformation with lasting effects on politics and culture. That wider lens makes the story feel less like distant history and more like a map of how democracies can narrow their freedoms while claiming to defend them. For readers who want both narrative drive and civic relevance, it is worth buying. If you would like to support Clay RISN, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.